the Synod is currently seems to be taking the stance that if we deepen our understanding of the doctrine, then that frees us then to interpret it in a variety of ways, to open up a variety of interpretations so that we're not caught into a legalistic position around the doctrine, but we're more kind of embracing the spirit of the doctrine. Now, where that comes then in relation to people themselves knowing their own lived experiences contrary to the doctrine and kind of informing themselves of the doctrine, saying, well, actually, I know the doctrine, but my lived experience is contrary to that. This is where I think Francis is coming into his own. He is starting very interestingly the whole first week in an inductive method of theology, where he's asking bishops and cardinals and archbishops and couples to speak not from a doctrinal point of view, but from their lived experience. So however limited that experience might be, or however non-representative that might be for the full body of the church, it's still starting off at our lived experience rather than at a doctrinal level.
Yeah. So it's looking at things more pastorally, I suppose, isn't it? It's looking at people's stories and, as you say, their lived experience, rather than saying everybody must fit into this ideal.
Hugely. And it's moving away from the pre-Vatican II approach. He's really embracing Vatican II in the whole idea of, before Vatican II, the emphasis was really on finding doctrine within the scriptures and in tradition. Now Francis is holding on to those two, but introducing this idea of lived experience as a locus, as a source of theological thought as well. So that if we start hearing how Jesus is incarnate in our experience, how Jesus is speaking through our own lived reality, then that is a theological framework by which we can form doctrine as well.
And what about women? I mean, all of this is affecting women because it's all about marriage and family. And in many ways, marriage and family is, I won't quite say the preserve of women, but it does tend to be the thing that their lives focus around more than maybe men. Perhaps that's incorrect of me to say, but, you know, it's certainly the women who bear children and who are often at the heart of the family. Yeah. And obviously we notice their absence. But will there be something in this for women? Will there be something that will come out of this that will sit well with women or that will resonate with women?
I think it's back to women really to push this in some way beyond the synod. I think it's a mistake to see this two-week synod as having all the answers by the end of the second week. Francis is actually interestingly taking a completely different slant. He's saying these 2 weeks are just about raising the issues, about discussing them at an initial point of view. Then this time next year, there will be a follow-up synod where doctrine and teachings and practices and that pastoral emphasis that you're talking about will be put more in place. But in between this year's synod and next year's follow-up synod is a whole year of discernment and taking what has come up in these 2 weeks and discussing them in parishes and dioceses at national forums. And that's where I really hope that, especially in Ireland and maybe in my own diocese of Raphoe, that we really start to take what happens in these 2 weeks and not look for any magical formula at the end of these 2 weeks, but to take them back to our parishes and then challenge anything that comes up that isn't according to our lived experience, and to acclaim anything that does celebrate our lived experience, so that by next year's synod, then it's a more true reflection on how we live out marriage, how we live out family. But in relation then specifically to what you're talking about women, is I think this is where women have to really claim their own voice, because if we're waiting for a male celibate hierarchical and patriarchal church to come and invite us to give our voice freely and uncritiquingly, then I think we'll be a long time waiting, and we have been a long time waiting anyway. I mean, I'm taking it that Francis, when he was talking to everybody at the Synod, but I'm taking it now to go beyond the Synod, he said on his opening address to speak out with boldness. And he told people that we must say everything we need to say, that we can't edit things of what we want to say in case we think it's not in line with church teaching or in line with what the Pope thinks. So he keeps emphasizing that. Both Sunday and Monday, he kept saying, we must say everything we need to say. Now, I'm going to be taking that in my job as a lay theologian and in my vocation as a lay woman for the next year, and take that with the intent that he meant it and speak with boldness on my role and my vocation. And I hope this extends then to the wider church, so that the silencing of women like Tina Beattie, like Elizabeth Johnson, like Janine Gramick, like and many other male theologians, that the silencing of those theologians will be challenged by Francis's idea of to speak out with boldness, and that it has to be acclaimed.
That is, of course, the irony, isn't it? You can be bold, but if you're a little bit too bold, you might be silenced.
Yeah. And that's it. And I suppose to add to the equation of what Francis says, is he says we have to listen with humility as well. Yeah. And I suppose that is the challenge of speaking out with boldness, and not editing what we want to say, but also to listen to the experience of others and to listen to that, the spirit of the Lord, as he says, with humility.
In terms of listening, and you touched on it there, but we tend to think of our own issues in the West and things that we're looking for. But the Catholic Church is very much a global church. And what are the global issues that that people will be looking at that maybe wouldn't be quite so prevalent or that wouldn't be coming up so much in the West?
Yeah. I mean, you've touched on a key thing, and sometimes we can all get caught up in our own little area, and I know I do. But it is to see that this synod is representative of the whole world. It's really embracing the Catholicity and universality of the Catholic Church. So therefore, whereas Western bishops and a lot of talk in Ireland and the United States in particular are talking about the sacraments being open to people in second unions or divorced couples, the whole area of civil marriages and civil unions for gay couples, that they're not particularly relevant to an awful lot of other cultures. So the likes of the Philippines says that if a synod, if we're having a synod on the family and the nature and role of a family, then we have to look at how Filipino families or Asian families are torn apart, not by divorce, but by economic migration, that where parents, maybe one, but sometimes two, are forced to go abroad for years at a time, leaving children behind because of poverty. And so that changes the whole nature of family. In Africa, the African bishops are talking of looking at the issues of female genital mutilation, of child brides, of polygamy, of the role of AIDS or the nature of AIDS in the breakup of family. We're talking about how war and refugee status, I suppose, breaks apart families as well. So throughout the world, a synod on the family is much more to do, much more than just sexual issues. It has to do hugely with social justice issues, with gender issues, with poverty issues, with the structuring of society, with war. And so therefore, this is where we have to really listen with humility to the reality of many other people outside of our own countries.
Because, as you say, those things are almost off our radar. You know, I mean, thankfully, things like female genital mutilation, you know, and AIDS, breaking up marriage, they're not really something that we have to contend with, but they are very much real issues in other countries. So people do have to look at that.
I'm just going to finish then with that, going back to where you say, where do women fit into that? Most of those issues are relating primarily to women, about women dying in childbirth hugely in the likes of Africa and Asia. You know, so and where women own only 1% of the world's wealth, and how that filters into family then, and access to voice and access to decision making, all of that is relevant to women hugely.
Yeah, and also the cultural differences, because we've seen some Nigerian bishops or a Nigerian archbishop talking about homosexuality, and they would have a very different comprehending of it or understanding of it. I mean, they're coming from countries where it's a criminal offence.
Yes. And primarily Nigeria has got a lot of focus in the last couple of years, in particular around the Nigerian bishop's stance in relation to the criminalization, as you say, of homosexuality. And so there's a lot of tensions there, and it's very difficult when we then, as a Western church, sometimes engage with Africa or Latin American countries in the fact that there has been the criticism thrown back at Western churches that we are imposing our worldview yet again on other cultures. And so, again, African bishops are, and not just African bishops, but a lot of NGOs working in Africa, are struggling with the West deciding for Africa what proper size of a family Africans should have, and tying in the whole area of contraception in with the whole issue of giving aid to countries. And so they say, you know, we should just allow aid to happen rather than tying in contraception and family planning as a kind of a prerequisite. That, you know, much more maybe they would emphasize are putting in prerequisites for the education of women rather than a kind of a quick fix solution like contraception.
And yet, I mean, some would struggle with the idea of educating women. They would see that as contrary to their religious or cultural understanding.
Hugely. I mean, but that's where, you know, I suppose the dialogue between different cultures has to happen, as opposed to any country believing or any culture believing that it has the perfect culture with all the answers. And so that's where the criticism comes in of saying, you know, this tying in contraception with aid, rather than taking a much longer engagement with the culture around the education of women, around the role of women, that's saying, like a lot of African churches are saying, engage with us over decades, engage with us with the bigger issues rather than just handing out condoms. So condoms might be one solution, but actually addressing gender roles, gender stereotypes, cultural norms, you know, that they all have to be dialogued with, but that takes a hell of a lot longer to deal with and to work out.